And many men start out carrying great heavy responsibilities, and they need help. But they start out with nobody but themselves and their wives. Sometimes even the wife won't help. She look at you and say, you're crazy. You'll never make it. But some men are strengthened by their wives' strength, right? And some men are strengthened by their wives' opposition. Yes, some men are of a certain kind of makeup that the wife, you need a wife. The wife can really give them a great boost. Then some men, they're a different type. They don't need nothing from the wife. The wife can give them all the help, it don't mean much. But if she knocking, it makes him much stronger. I guess that's why the black woman just keep knocking the black man. She said, I'm going to make him stronger. You ought to try something different. It's been 300 years. You've been knocking us for 300 years. Now, the oppressor of us all have done that to us. Got our women working against their men blindly. Working blindly against their men. And got the man giving up, throwing up his hand, leaving everything to his woman and the white man. Right? No good. The strong of our people have been preaching against that, and we can't stop. We got to keep preaching against that until it changes. Now, lastly, in this presentation on in our closing remarks on community, the Islamic community is a dynamic community. By dynamic, we mean it must be active and progressive at all times. It cannot allow itself to become idle or stagnant. The Prophet was told, as soon as you finish with the task immediately at hand, still fansab. Fansab means right away, find another project, another task. And get into it, exert yourself, and work hard at it. We must be a working community, constantly at work, and a determined, persevering community. Determined and persevering community. Persevering means going forward and pushing, even when all the signs say you can't succeed. Even when all the signs say you can't succeed, we have to still be determined and go forward, exert ourselves and push forward with all that we have, because that's what will deliver us. That's what will bring us to be victorious. That's the concept of community for the Muslim. Essentially, it is a community of inherent values. That's its natural, that's its truest character. It's a community of inherent values. It's a community who has it having as its object, first of all, obedience to God, and then service to all people. It's a community that believes in a kind of dynamism, that it should never allow itself to be idle or to become stagnant, that it must always engage in profitable and useful work. It must be continuously pushing forward and advancing. The good life and the utility that God has created for man. That's this religion. If you can find something better, hurry up and get it to me. Because I'm convinced that this is the best. And I'm convinced that those people who have prospered and who've gone ahead of other nations, the progressive and developing nations, I'm convinced that they have heeded more of the essential message of this religion than the so-called Islamic world abroad. Maybe they haven't followed the religious rituals, they haven't followed the dietary laws, they haven't followed the moral principles, they haven't followed perhaps the universal concept, they haven't put it into practice, but they must have had a lot of that at heart in order to advance their societies as they have advanced their societies. And the evidence is in the societies that have advanced that they have come in contact with this religion. You can't find a great Western nation that doesn't have also its Shriners, its Masons, who practice a secret association with our religion. So wake up, black man. Stop letting the world beat you black and blue. So far, I can't say it's your last chance. There's a final call. So if you ain't satisfied here, you go down there to that renovated funeral home. So he says the final call. And if you see him, I can get word back to him. Tell him I still invite him to Al-Islam, the Quran and to Islam. And tell him I said $12 trillion from the nations of the world won't improve his condition at all. Until his heart turns and do what is right, accept what is right, and he follows up with the proper action, then he'll be happy with $12. That's right. Once a great Western leader, educator, he said, well, not educator, but great Western celebrity, he said, wealth is not in possession, but wealth is in the content of the heart. Yes, I've seen people around me. They thought that once they got some big money, they would be all right. All their troubles would be gone. Their money increased and their worries increased. Their misery increased. Then there are some people, they can go from day to day not knowing how they're going to eat. And still their character stays good. They don't let their character be spoiled by the threats of want. No. And they can laugh and they can talk and people can enjoy their company and they got nothing. Got nothing. Then there's some, they get thousands of dollars. Tons of money. But people can't enjoy their company, and they can't enjoy anybody's company. They have made for themselves a hell. So don't think money is everything. Money is not everything. Let us get our vision clear and our heart healing And then let us go after money, but not to enrich ourselves or to secure ourselves. You can't secure yourself. Rich man makes his $1 trillion and die of AIDS. Yeah, you can't secure yourself, you never know. And you don't have to get it from a homosexual man. You go in and get a blood transfusion. They got AIDS. Look at one of those Rockefellers. He used to feed his dog from his own sandwiches. He take a bite and give his dog a bite. He died with cancer of the throat. All that money couldn't stop that cancer from eating up his throat and sending him to his grave. And God says in our holy book, says, and they amassed the wealth, thinking that it will prolong their days. And it will not. I had to talk to our folks this way. Because we deserve some mercy still. The white man brought us over here and made us a slave labor force, then freed us. We came to the factories up north, we thought we were going to have it good. Still almost in the same situation. You know, I don't think there's another people on earth like us. Where condition, now let me tell you what I'm talking about now, what I'm thinking about right now. Where past conditions have given all of you big appetites. See, you can go among other nations and you will find the masses of people with no big appetites like you all got. The masses of other people, all they want are the common things of life. The masses of other people. They just want to have a wife and a family and be able to pay their bills and have a fairly decent home. And they don't mind struggling. They don't have to have no Cadillac car. They don't have to have no fancy car. They don't have to have no color television. No Prince phone, no singing phone and all that kind of stuff. They don't have to have all that, you know. But our past condition, slavery and then the way we were treated after slavery, it has given all of us a big appetite. And this way of life over here in the West hasn't helped it at all. Make people think everybody supposed to have luxury. Everybody supposed to be rich and have luxury. That's stupid. Majority of people will never be able to support that kind of thing. It is. Majority of people are going to have to work common jobs. Let's do something about this in the light of what God has revealed in this holy book and the life of Muhammad the Prophet. Let us do something about this. Don't give up. Keep working on our problem. We have a lot of serious problems that hold our people down. They start right here in the heart. Then they go to the brain. Then they go to our behavior. Then they go to our family relationships, how we treat each other at home. And they just go out and out now, and the whole race is in a whole lot of trouble simply because we won't start at home and correct our heart, then correct our thinking. I'm going to conclude this, but I have to say this at this point. And looking into these things that hurt us, hinder our progress, not just us as Muslims, I'm talking about the masses of people now that are not established in anything strong and clear and solid. And most of those who have not inherited that from others, they don't have it. Even the whites. You know that? The whites that haven't inherited that from their white fortunate parents and relatives, they don't have it either. And I came to the conclusion that we are miserable because of our outlook. If your outlook is unreal, you can't have much real in your life. You can't produce much real with your efforts. If your outlook is unreal. And believe me, the thing that makes it almost impossible
And I know I'm going to hurt a lot of the Christian people when I say this, but I can't help it. What makes it almost impossible for people of dark skin and typical African features to have the right real natural outlook on life is the belief that God's Son is Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is God and their personal Savior. That finishes on. You have some who will get money, but what can they do for their race? Nothing. I was looking at television at Reverend Ike. He's got a powerful philosophy, and he knows the trouble that Jesus Christ presents. So he tries. He doesn't harp too much on Jesus Christ, but he had to admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that Jesus Christ is the personal Savior. He had to admit that because he believes in Christianity. He believes in Christianity. What hurts him is that he is a preacher of Christianity. And since he's a preacher of Christianity, it kind of narrows him down so much that his influences can't go out and reach the masses of his people to heal his people. If they would give me the kind of opportunity to give them a free to come on television to talk to the people of this country, no way our race can stay down. No way. The little exposure that I've gotten with the help of you people, the little exposure that I've gotten, have changed many people out there in the street. Many. Many have changed in the street. They meet me. They don't come here. They meet me and they greet me and they're so happy to see me. And they tell me of how they have changed. And how they listen to the radio. They don't come here, they listen to the radio. And we're not reaching no great many hours. The radio audience is very small. Weak station. Look what we could do if we had the opportunity to come on mass media like Reverend Ike. Look what we could do. We could bring life, productive life, to the African-American people. Health, sense of well-being, vision, and a forward movement on the part of our people. They know that. That's why they won't allow us to come on there. Should we tolerate that situation? We may get old and gray-headed and bald-headed, but we should never give up trying to think our way out of this and work our way out of this. And there's a way. We get enough numbers and we get enough money, we can do what the Jew did and what other small people do. You have rights in this country. You have the right to buy. You can buy the media, you can buy the network. Yes, if you got enough money. And then they can't do nothing about it. No, they can't do nothing about it. And they can't say they won't sell it to you. You go to court. Take them to court. And if you prove that they're discriminating, the courts have to rule in your favor. So we could either force this country to say we are big liars. When it comes to blacks and Muslims, we are nothing but a big liar. Or we could force them to give us equal share. Huh? One or another. We either would drive them to the backs of the wall and make them confess they're nothing but hypocrites and big liars, that freedom is a lie here, democracy is a big lie here, that when it comes to blacks and Muslims, you're out. Or either we force them to give us our share, right, of the power. And I'm not going to give up. I'm going to die with this spirit in me. And you should teach it to your children. You don't see my children there and hardly come down here. But don't think they're not being reached. I see them at home. When I can't even talk to them, I'll do something that'll make them hear Islam. And I'm not talking about whip them. I just come down and pray while they got the thing blasting, television blasting, the radio blasting, the record player blasting, you know, the wall of the thank you very much. Well, let us go home and be happy. Because Allah has blessed us. And He's going to bless us more. So let us have dua al-Fatiha now. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.